Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience, and peace and honorable greetings to our dear beloved friends, and happy New Year to you. We're going to start the New Year's out right with a message. Yesterday we were not on the air. I don't know, some saboteur or something happened where we couldn't get on the air. I don't know what had happened, but anyway. We know that God is greater than any disruption, any saboteur. We were challenged yesterday. We're never defeated. We cannot stop now, and we cannot be stopped now, and we won't stop now. So therefore, we are on the move. We are off the groove. On the second day of the new year, 2015, which we have billed as the year of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. 40 years, and 40 years, we're coming up February the 26th, will be the 40th year anniversary of our leader's appearance in North America, where he transformed the land that was a wilderness into a country made safe. So with those words, I'm not going to prolong the agony of us waiting for our great speaker from the city that's going to be made even more famous, Selma, Alabama. It's going to be the news. But before Oprah Winfrey knew about Selma, in terms of her listening audience or television audience and a movie audience, we had brought to you Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, powerful sign from Almighty. And so I'm going to bring him on, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam from Selma, Alabama, the historical site of what I believe is the conclusion of the civil rights movement. The next voice you heard will be none other than our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. But prior to my coming on, I must say to you, we really, really, truly need your financial support. Unfortunately, we're always at crunch time. But this is Crunch Time Blog Talk. Mr. Alan Reed is a wonderful person. His staff is even wonderful, more wonderful. I work with them. I don't know Mr. Reed, but I know his staff, and they have worked with me patiently. So if you all would send your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036, we would greatly appreciate it to keep this broadcast going. I know God is going to provide. So now, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, in the great city of Selma, Alabama, the last station on the Battle of Road to Jericho.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We witness that God is one alone. There are no other gods with him, no partner, as he has revealed in Quran to Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him, for us that anyone who comes to him, they come only as a servant, not as a god, an office holder sharing power in divine office. They come only to serve him. We salute him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the traditional salute. The prayers and peace be on him and on his following and on his family, all in what follows of that tradition. Dearly beloved Muslims, friends, believers, atheists, agnostics, whatever, human beings, sons and daughters of Adam, again we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. As Imam Afford mentioned, and we certainly wish he and his family and all of you regeneration, rejuvenation. Well, brother, it's not the Islamic calendar, but it's the calendar your soul and your subconscious and conscious mind been living by for 5-6 decades. And you want to think we want to forget about that? We know it's not the Islamic New Year. But at the same time, what's wrong with acknowledging rebirth? any time of the year. We look for every little thing to start a fight with the world and the body. Brother, it's not the Muslim New Year. Let's wish each and every one of us a new revival, a new regeneration, a new rebirth of our dedication and devotion to this Deen al-Fitr. We're coming up, as the Imam have said, to the 40th anniversary of the Imam's leadership. Do not separate the 40th year of the Imam's leadership from the 50th year of the Selma to Montgomery March. That march, those events, were not just about the right to vote or bringing a death knell to segregation, as Dr. King said in Montgomery, as he laid the hard, cold truth down to the late Governor George Wallace. While that Wallace was being brought low by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was another Wallace that had just taken the stage of leadership. And he would come with guidance from Allah to tear down the white supremacy views that George Wallace and others stood for in America. I'm not celebrating Selma for Selma's sake. I put no right to vote. African Americans, even in Selma, had to write the vote before the Selma movement, some of them. Some of them were already registered. In every state in the Union, some African Americans were registered. Yes, it led to the Voting Rights Bill, but what it really, Johnson in August, first part of August, yes, he laid out the roll out the Voting Rights Bill. But back in February of 1965, Allah rolled out on the stage the leadership of Imam Muhammad. All of those events was the curtain closer leading up to the big drama in African-American history. As we had to go up another consciousness, the Imam said 10 represent consciousness. So we had to go up another 10 years from the day when he was rolled out in February of 1964 until he entered into his mission complete and full in a big way. So I'm not commemorating no Selma for Selma's sake. I'm commemorating it because it was one of a series of steps that led to the big manifestation of Imam Muhammad on the global leadership scene. Don't let these revisionists in history, don't let these men, don't let the one who likes to co-opt human efforts fool you and deceive you about what Allah did. Selma, which was a keystone and stepping toward the events of 1975, when the man would take the world stage. I've already indicated that the word Selma itself is reaped with Islamic historical connotations. The bridge between Selma and Selma, Alabama is nothing but a metaphor for the bridge between Medina and Mecca. when the prophet went up and became a bridge, a reconciler, after Satan had put us in all kind of different bags, the human being, a Gnostic bag, a materialistic bag, a mystical bag, a legalistic bag, a formalistic bag, an atheistic bag. Do you understand? The prophet superseded all that and came together and bridged and reconciled the human nature. And we want to limit a lot to what we think is the only history. But I was a member of the Nation of Islam, and I'm only concerned about Nation of Islam history. That's your narrow concern. Everything is in Allah's hand, and He creates in pairs. And there's never been the one freedom movement in terms of African American history. That movement, in its official former significant historical sense, started with Gabriel, started with the rebellion of Gabriel Prosser. Yeah, there were other slave rebellions and this and that throughout our experience from Latin America, Central America, even in stateside. But the standard-bearing rebellion started with Gabriel, as it was in the beginning. And the freedom movement was completed in 1965 when the imam came with the book that Gabriel brought. After Gabriel Prosser, the Quran said that, can't you see that, and I'm paraphrasing, that this reality was one until we split it asunder? Yeah, so the movement and the freedom movement in its infancy was one. It had not been divided up into the pairs. Integrationism and black nationalism, but Allah split the history in pairs. He split it asunder. But the Quran intimates, and again, it's a loose paraphrase, that one day He can bring it back together if He wanted to. He could bring this creation back into oneness. And that's what He did. He brought the freedom movement back into oneness with its completion on a highest power of the evolutionary scale, made manifest what the sign, lessons, evidence, and proof in the Gabriel Prosser rebellion indicated. Yes, Allah split that one Peter merge asunder into pairs. And all our history was an interaction between these two pairs, as the boy talked about, this split in the soul of black folk that was so strong that it could possibly tear us asunder. The move to want to be part of the big group America, integrationist, the move to want to be separative and part of our blood and our tradition, Africa, he called these two warring tendencies. Allah split this thing asunder. And from the tension and the dichotomy, African American freedom history was propelled until Allah in His wisdom decided to bring it back together. But not with a suggestive Gabriel, but with one who came with the real book in his hand that Jibril brought to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the mountain of Nur. Yes, Peter El Shah, he talking about the lessons of Selma. He doesn't know anything about any lessons of Selma. Trying to secularize it and despiritualize it and reduce it to some kind of systemic or co-opted thing. How you can make policy change in the government if you move a certain way of the people. Yes, that's a reality, but it's a small reality. The big lesson of Selma is the power of divine might operating not only in Selma, but throughout our history. but they don't pay them enough to talk about the mighty hands of God. But none of these so-called African-American scholars, my grandmama didn't even have an education, but he had sense enough to look in the history and said, boy, God brought us a mighty long way. And they used to say, he said, Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. And our spokesmen, our leaders, our scholars, they're so intimidated by the dictates of this secular world that they're afraid to look into the underlying divine lesson in Selma. And that underlying divine lesson, that it was the last warm-up before the culminating divine culmination point in our history was manifested. Before the march, Imam Muhammad, that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, he's back into the back on the stage in the Nation of Islam. What other man could it be about? Before the march, Malcolm X had been, I would say, killed. Dr. Martin Luther King would be would have passed away physically as a result of an assassin bullet 3 years later. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad only had a decade left. So it was about Dr. King. It was about Malcolm. It was about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They sure did not stick around long to be able to do anything else behind it. Who was the only man that had a historical role to play during that period from January 65 until March 21st, 1965, that went on to almost a 40-year mission afterwards? It was Imam Waruddin Muhammad. So now how in the world can any logical thinking person think that those events were about Dr. Martin Luther King, about even Malcolm X, who had already passed, or even the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in perpetuating his mission? No, everything after Selma was an implosion, was a storm, was a phenomenon designed to dissipate the energies of the Nation of Islam, to dissipate the energies of the civil rights movement, so that when the Imam would come, he would come in as a cool, calm, collected individual after the storm had cleared, after the Black Power thing, after Newark in Detroit, during Newark in Detroit, the first in 66 with the Black Power thing, the sign was sent because Elijah met with Martin that it was coming where somebody was going to bridge these two tendencies in the soul of black folk. Imam making hearts during the year of Newark. 68, 69, Dr. King killed, but the FBI is telling Imam, fretting about it, as I read over there when they wrote their statements in 1979. Then Imam turned 40, the age of poor strength, in 73. His daddy started reviewing his stuff. And he said, my son got it. My son is the breed. My son is the man. My son got a cosmic message. My son can go anywhere and teach this message. All you comers, come on. Get your African-American history book out. Get your American history book out. And it can be proven even in the context of American history and European history and global liberation of African and Asian overcoming colonialistic and imperialistic subjugation history. If you don't believe it, go back and study the Bandung conference that occurred in the same year. when the civil rights movement started and when the Nation of Islam began to explode after Elijah Muhammad, may God forgive him of his sins, sent Malcolm to New York in May of 54 to start that movement on the East Coast, and then it exploded like wildfire. A year later, we were down in Atlanta. The Montgomery movement had even been victorious yet, and the Nation of Islam was down south, all in the territory of Dr. King. From that, you had East Eric Lincoln teaching over at Clark, and he saw the Muslim down in Atlanta, talked to Malcolm Shabazz, and wrote the famous book, Black Muslim in America, calling the proto-Islamic terminology and phraseology. Went on and identified the fact that the Imam understood that we as African American had a genetic Islamic history. All you takers, come on. This is the year of clear evidence. There's a surah called clear evidence. And in Indonesia, there was an accident coming out of this place called Surah Baya. And that Baya is an abbreviation of this surah that's translated in Quran, El Baina. And as we go into the 40th anniversary in this year, 2015, Allah, inshallah, will make it clear, irrebuttable proof of the great mission of Imam Muhammad. The clear evidence. What place is known surah? Yeah, what place? And then the U.S. government sent Samson over there. So we got the Samson going over, and we got a reminder of the clear evidence. Because Samson is a story where the people in the book who rejected faith had the clear evidence, but they saw something crooked in religion and came up with all these schemes, as reflected in Jacob at Bethel, as Moses on the mountain with the I Am God, and as Samson in Delilah, all of the mythologies where they used in religion in a crooked manner in order to try to dominate and control the minds of the masses. So that's the issue. The Imam who said the clear evidence of the Quran is going to be made note in inshallah from 2:15 on. And he brought the light. Go read or listen to his statement on the story of Samson. Go read and listen to what he said about Jacob maneuvering at Bethel. I didn't name a little place over there, right outside the Java Sea. No surah, Baya. Nor did I tell the U.S. government to select as their first ship that they sent over in a so-called rescue operation, one named after Samson, the mythological biblical figure. They planned and Allah planned. And Allah is the best planner. Bring on the folk. We got to stop being so timid. Why am I going to Africa to study? Why you out your mind? You ought to be stuttering when you come back. You ought to have a knot in your tongue. Talking about going to the Middle East to study. Talking about going here to study. Study what? Well, brother, I got to get my credential. Well, you don't understand your book. According to the book, the person who come with clear evidence, but not me. Moses didn't get any credential from Jethro. Musa didn't get any, peace be upon him, any credential from the Pharaoh. Didn't nobody give him. He didn't study somewhere. Yeah, he studied on the Jethro, but that was not sufficient. He kept on his journey. He kept on his quest, seeking a burning fire that gave him the nature of Almighty God himself. For God didn't give us the complete idea about God. The Nation of Islam, Jethro. Mahatma Gandhi, the integrationist Jephthah did not give King and them the total reality when he tried to make an absolute of nonviolence. Allah allows violence in his creation from nature to human activity under certain circumstances, governed by certain restrictions. So it's wrong to say we should never be violent. God is not the example for all time for human beings, but Muhammad is the example. And when did he say, under no circumstance should we use physical violence, even if it's in self-defense or defending our right to worship as we would like to worship? So neither the teacher of the Nation of Islam nor the teacher of immigrationism, Mahatma Gandhi, with his non-violence resistance philosophy, did not teach it all. There was still a fire that the imam perceived out there somewhere. There was some burning brand to warn the people, to give them the full, balanced, excellent life that God has designed for the sons and daughters of Adam. He said, hey, y'all stay back. I got to travel some more. I got to reflect some more. I got to intuit some more. I got to pray some more. And Allah will, as he said, bless him with the seven colors of the rainbow. I'm talking about the psychic mechanism of the imam. When that inner light that's inside the human mindset begin to glow, and Allah can bless one with universal understanding, and all the colors of the rainbow manifest themselves. And when that happened, the imam said, he came down and began to teach Quran to the Nation of Islam. Oh, you weak-minded brothers, what are you looking at? Allah gives us once in a 5,000-year blessing. And we want to go to some parochial backwards territory to get some credentials, when the only credentials that Musa had, the prophet had, or even Imam had, was a moving serpent, the moving rod, and the right hand. Deep understanding of the spiritual sciences in a sincere and pure heart. This Quran came down on the prophet's right hand, came down on his pure heart. Now his actions became pure, but he put his hands in his chest first, and then his actions, Musa. His hand is a symbol of action, were pure as well. Same thing with Prophet Muhammad. He became, the Quran came down on his heart, but his right hand made him walking Quran. We're not taking any more prisoners, okay? We're not playing any more games. Allah has given us 40 years now to either accept or reject what the imam is all about. Now, as one of his students, I'm not going to argue with anybody. To you be your way, and to you, me be mine. But those who claim to be his students, we must not hesitate, we must not bite our tongue, we must be forthright, and we must tell them all like it is. And if we don't do it, Allah still can establish, without our work, without our service, the clear evidence. Before there ever was a Selma March, Malcolm Shabazz was assassinated in the context of the nationalistic movement blended with religion in the form of the Nation of Islam. But we don't know, at the same time, there was a person in the integrationist movement assassinated too, Jimmie Lee Jackson. And after these deaths and before the march, there was an event took place that's more important than anything that happened in the 60s altogether. including that march on March 7, 1965. And the icing on the cake march, March 21st, 1965. Those little events make us small compared to the fact that when Imam Muhammad left the Nation of Islam in 1964, was so-called wayward in 1964, working loosely with Malcolm and his cousin, I mean his nephew, Hakeem, Sharif brother, Brother Sharif. And then events happen in the bigger picture that forced Imam Muhammad to come back to the Nation of Islam. But it was not his return, but his beginning. Because from that point on, all the events came together to open up the door where he would take leadership 10 years later. Once we go up to a higher level of consciousness, when his father passed away in February of 1975. We don't know what would have happened if the man had not come back to that Savior Day meeting. When all that turmoil was going on in the community, chaos and doubt here and there, threats and counter threats, but Allah eased Imam back on stage. And when the Imam took that one step back on stage, Allah took 10 steps. And even the years he reigned before the steps reached his destination were 10 years. Imam took one step, and Allah took 10. All praise is due to Allah. Subhanallah. Glory to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Let me just tell you, these people don't even read our history, claim to be scholars. You go and check out Taylor Branch. Branch's great work, Par in the Waters. Before you will get one quarter through, he's making a point that November leading up to December 1st, when that march first started, he pointed out that there was a new babe born. Now, a historian don't deal with that kind of personal stuff. But he knew what he was doing. Dr. King's first child was born mid-November, approximately 2 or 3 weeks before the beginning of the movement, and he made mention of that to suggest that this was the beginning of the mid-20th century official civil rights movement in the South. There were other motions, you know, when the mother's pregnant, the leg kick, and she started having forced labor. Yeah, there were all the events that were important. We don't deny that. But Allah is suggesting that this new birth of Yolanda King. Now, some might say, well, he can mention that. Yeah, but if he mentioned that, why should he mention the doctor who delivered her? Or what is historical pertinence? What historical relevance? That's immaterial. That doesn't have any materiality in terms of history as to what was the name of the doctor. But Taylor Branch got a lot more spiritual courage than many of these handkerchief heads. I almost went back to the old days. Than many of these black scholars. And he mentioned the fact, well, casually and cavalierly, a hint to why, so the doctor was named Pettus. What did Taylor Branch, this magnificent scholar of what's called the King Yield, what did he know? He knew that there was a sign. He was saying, look, I'm giving you this information because God is working in this history. He's orchestrating this history. This movement is going to begin now, and it's going to end December 1st, 1955, and it's going to end 10 years later on the Pettus Bridge. that's a historical fact. After Yolanda came, she wasn't really breathing good before Rosa Parks sat down on that bus December 1st. But even while she was being born, there was another young lady who was named Mary Louise Smith that sat down on the bus too. But E.D. Nixon didn't want her to be the example because of the fact that they felt she had was immature and had a shady background. So he was looking for the ideal situation. So when Rosa Parks sat down, Nixon and others arranged that the people of Montgomery galvanized around her. And some 10 years later, those events reached their climax on the Pettus Bridge. Dr. King this, Dr. King that. I heard the man say he was one of our great leaders. But Dr. King did not control the events in Selma. On the day of the Bloody Sunday March, Dr. King was not even in town. Dr. King was in Atlanta preaching. And the question was going to be, who was going to lead the march? They flipped the coin, and on the student side, Bob Mintz and John Lewis led under the King leadership. My good friend Albert Turner Jr., Sr., who's passed out of Marion, where Jimmie Lee Jackson was assassinated, and Hosea Williams led. But you might say that that event was a result of a game of chance. But let me just read to you something that I've talked about before. Bring them on. Those of you who's cowardly came from a people become cowards. A people who knew that they could not have made any progress toward freedom but for the help of God. Then you mess around here and get you a position of tenure. You get you a little job at this institution or that institution, and you're afraid to integrate in your secular, mundane analysis and overarching philosophical idea that nevertheless all those things were instigated and motivated, and it was arranged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's fully in charge of his affairs. You won't do that because you think you might lose tenure, but you don't sit up and criticize Obama about him not acting crazy within his institutional constraints. You could say that he this or that, but why don't you go wild with your constraints? Why don't you throw caution to the wind? Why don't you get up there and tell the people, look, yes, these secondary human, economic, and political social factors were relevant to this situation, but the prime cause, the prime mover was the creator of the heavens and earth. You won't dare do it. Yet you want this man and his family that make the supreme sacrifice, ignore all governmental constraints, operate beyond the bound, and make some crazy irrational move just to please you. Well, I'm asking you to please me. You go into your institution and start saying that God is the author of all history. You gonna put some on your brother? If you put it on your brother, put it on yourself. I don't put nothing on another man. When I was in government, I had a whole lot of information from Imam Muhammad. I didn't walk into the State House trying to tear up everything they had. Come on, I've been taught by the Imam. No, I had to respect certain constraints. Yes, I was creative. Yes, I was innovative and even transformative. But I didn't go in there with a wrecking ball. And we're looking at some 42 Jackie Robinson on the television. I respect Jackie Robinson. Look what he had to do to first baseball player. Look what he had to take. That was against his personality. We know that about Jackie Robinson. We praise him for that. We understand his circumstances. Yet we many times Jackie Robinson struck out. Jackie Robinson was not a Willie Mays. Willie Mays came afterward. Jackie Robinson was not a Hank Aaron. But he had what it take, what it took to be that original pioneer to break the door down, to remove an obstruction that had handicapped our people for decades. Now, the African-Americans, back when we had a good heart, we understood that kind of thing. But now we've gotten hard-hearted, treacherous, ruthless, and bitter. And we don't want to interject that kind of softening analysis to what our first African-American president is facing. Yes, even on that level, he would not be there but for the work of the secondary work, just the transactional work, the right, the vote little movement that came out of this thing. And he certainly wouldn't be there but for the mega event that came out of it, the first step of Imam Muhammad to leadership. Chicago is a black man town. I was reading a book last night. A brother founded that town. They don't want to admit it, but he did. So why would we be surprised that in this mega metropolitan area, this large cosmopolitan city, that a black man started in the heart of this nation, why would we be surprised that if Allah originated that creation, then he could originate another creation in that same city where an African-American male went to the apex of spiritual excellence and understanding. And an African-American male in that same town went to the apex of the governmental mountain. These are facts. We cannot argue that African-American is noted for his star in Chicago. That's a fact. Imam Muhammad lived in Chicago. Barack Obama lived in Chicago during the same time. These are facts. Bring them on. We read it. Bring them on. Cut us loose on these college campuses. Let us start a dialogue. Let us bring forth cogent argument. Let us advocate. Let us have a seat at the table. What are you afraid of? Why are you freezing us out? Imam said, you Christian, some of you, say, he said, you watch us like a hawk. Some of you don't want to see us make any progress. So let's see. At the time that I'm getting ready to read you from, John Lewis himself did not know that he was going to have to lead a march across the bridge that day. Nobody knew who was going to lead. Dr. King had cautioned them against the march. But when they got to the church, the masses wanted to go. The masses were ready. So now these events at Brown Chapel occurred 6 hours later. Most of the people that were in that church was in the bed. John Lewis was in the bed. Jose Williams was in the bed. All of them were sleeping when this happened on the Pettus Bridge. We don't speculate. This world has distorted reality, moved out on the left, put left, right, left. When Allah calls us to step on the right foot. So Satan turns everything around. You know, Allah made the sun to rise in the east. And does these diabolic forces make it rise in the west? This is verbatim from a book called Selma 1965. If Baker's apprehensions, let me translate this. Wilson Baker was the chief of police. When I came to Selma, everybody was telling me about, even African Americans, about Wilson Baker. Wilson Baker was a very progressive man in the context of 1965, as progressive as you could possibly be. Naturally, he had his innate bias and prejudice, but he tried to take a more civilized approach than Jim Crow. So this story, we're talking about how Baker was he had apprehensions because he saw that was happening, what was happening within the ranks of Jim Clark and his posse. But temporarily, he met with Clark and this trooper, Colonel Lingo, and they assured him that everything would be all right. So the paragraph started off, that Baker's apprehension were mollified by this meeting. It was probably not for long. Within a few hours, his men had disarmed several carloads of whites who were circling around the city like sparrowhawks and a kill. This is the day, the night before, in the morning of the march. These people act like they knew something more than a quiet mass arrest scene was in office. This author saying they were acting like they knew something, that if anything kick off the day in colloquial street language, they were thinking, we're going to whip some heads. We're going to whip some heads. So some of them started warming up. The troopers were also limbering up as a black man named John Lewis, not the leader of the march, but an everyday Selmian. This is on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, before there was even a final decision on the march, before it was known by the people that John Lewis was going to lead the march, that John Lewis would suffer a fractured skull on the bridge, that John Lewis would have to be hospitalized. The people didn't know it. John Lewis didn't know it. King didn't know it. Abernathy didn't know it. Jim Clark didn't know it. But Allah knew exactly what was about to happen. So he put a sign on that bridge as an indicator as to the big history that was going to happen later on that day. And we got the nerve to credit men for making history. I'm getting ready to bring this to a close. These people acted like they knew something more than a quiet mass arrest scene was in the office. The trooper was also limbering up as a black man named John Lewis learned that morning to his regret. Lewis, who worked as a dishwasher, never been involved in the movement, wasn't thinking about no movement, had put in his graveyard shift and was going home. Now, I'm from the South. In these kinds of competitive situations, the mole is that if you got a submissive, head-scratching African-American, I don't care what's going on, you leave him be. You don't mess with him. You don't whip him. But one of these men, they couldn't help it because Allah had to create a scenario. And they all were being used as instruments to paint this picture. Lewis learned that morning to Lewis, who worked as a dishwasher, was stopped by two troopers on his way home. The troopers differed about what to do with him. One said Lewis was all right. That trooper, not that he was not racist, he probably whipped many marchers' head later that day, but the mole is that you don't arbitrarily just whoop a working, head-scratching, everyday brother going home to feed his family. That was the Southern tradition. But the article say that the other one insisted, let's beat him up anyway. The trooper ended the concussion by hitting Lewis on the head with his nightstick. The same way John Lewis was beaten on the bridge that day, let on. Lewis said, the man said, I staggered. And he hit me again. They Billy Club whipping this man for nothing. He don't know nothing about no movement. I've been over to pick up the bill pole. And he hit me again. And then when he tried another time to pick up the bill pole, he hit me again. The troopers left him with a broken arm and head injuries. Severe injuries, the same way this other John Lewis. Well, brother, you saying that's a sign. Why would Allah let a man suffer injuries in order to make it? He didn't let anybody. These human beings made that decision. But they can't make a decision that's outside of the context of Allah's plan. That's what we got to understand. His plan is all-encompassing. If Allah had a plan where people could make decisions outside of his plan, then he would have a weak plan. No matter what we do or where we do it, Allah's overarching plan can incorporate by preference everything that happened for eternity. Well, brother, that's just your theological talk. Well, Allah allowed Abu Jahl to hit Prophet Muhammad and abuse him. For and another purpose came out of that. When Hamza, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa uncle, heard about it when he rolled into town, he went straight to the father of ignorance, bust him upside the head for messing with his uncle, and then he declared his Islam. So if the prophet can receive rather light touching up by a savage enemy of all Islam, and it works for the good in Allah's plan, all things work for the good in Allah's plan. So Allah was showing the world, look, don't be surprised by this John Lewis bridge interruption of judgment at Nuremberg. No men are behind this. I'm behind it. I made it happen. It is not about a right to vote in my scheme. It's about the right to devote. 2 weeks earlier, a servant of mine went back to his room where I prepared him. Then he came to a place of destination by my lead. He came hither by my lead. And I had given him guidance in Quran. And I had taught him. And I had blessed him. And he came back on the scene, getting ready to step forward 10 years later to be presented as the greatest explicator of scripture on the planet since my seal. Prophet Muhammad saw the way he watched the lamb. Oh, yes, this is the big thing we're dealing with. It's not about Selma. It's not about no right to vote. It's about the right to devote. You cannot even use your right to vote properly if somebody controlling your mind and controlling the framework and orientation or the devotion of your heart. Someone had to come along and give us freedom to the vote based upon the democratic idea of First Amendment right to worship and religion and freedom of thought and freedom of expression. And before there ever was a march across a bridge, the man who was going to lead that movement for the right to devote had already come forward. This is a fact. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this surah that I referred to earlier. I'm just going to go through it very swiftly. The man brought the tax fears and all tax fears. Go over there and check, go and Google the name of that place where this plane took off from. Go and Google that U.S. carrier named Samson. But the clear evidence that the man brought to this planet has debunked and forever neutralized those diabolic religious mythologies. We hadn't heard no African American leader, King, Malcolm, Douglas, Sojourner Truth, Ida B. Wells, Ella Baker, even any of them. They didn't break down no Samson in no real deep way to us. They didn't really tell us what 30 changes of sheets and 30 changes of garment meant. They didn't really tell us about the riddle. What's sweeter than honey and stronger than a lion? They didn't connect up Samson with Sambo. Imam Muhammad did it because he was a student of Quran, in particular in scripture in general. And Allah gave him the clear evidence. Satan could only hide that clear light for so long. If Allah, if the man can do an article on the false light extinguished, then Allah can make the true light come forward in time. It cannot be hidden under bush or boughs forever. You go and study all these old shakers and all these other shaking folks. Go study them. Go run all over the world 10 times looking for something. Talking about you getting your credentials. The first credential you need is a sincere and pure heart. And if you had that, Allah will guide you to see, I don't need nothing but what I got right here in America. I don't need nothing else. What I need something else for? The folks overseas speak in a foreign tongue. Allah said in Quran, and now again I'm paraphrasing, that he raised up a man from the people speaking their language, but not only speaking their language, really implicit is that understanding their psychology. These folks don't understand the psycho, spiritual history, collective history of African American people.
Al who's over there, and they say, Tony Rajin. Bismillah, Rahman, right?
We declare we ready. I just turned 67 years old. I don't know. I may have 7 days. I may have 7 weeks. I may have 7 months. I may have 7 years. I don't know what I got. But I'm not going to spend not 1 second of whatever I got jiving around with these half-steppers. Chugging and jiving when the clear evidence is on the scene. But if you're going to reject faith, you're not going to depart from your ways. Let there be no coercion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. We have limited free will. You use yours the way you want to.
Al-Hud Ubalah, Midei Seytani Rajim, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Those who reject truth among the people of the book and among the polytheists were not going to depart from their ways until there should come to them clear evidence. No tafsir. Allah sent clear evidence to the African American people, and the roof was up high enough to see it. Our leadership. Wherein Allah, subhanAllah, a messenger from Allah, rehearsing scriptures, kept pure and holy. Wherein Allah, the decree, subhanAllah, right and straight. Nor did the people of the book make schisms until after there came to them clear evidence. And they have been commanded no more than this, to worship Allah. Open him sincere devotion up until the time of Imam Muhammad. There never was a real choice to be made by African Americans as to what we were going to give the sincere affections of our heart to, what was worthy of devotion, what was worthy of our attachment. Right to the boat, but right to sincere devotion. Being that in faith to establish regular prayer, to practice regular charity, and that is the religion right and straight. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Dear beloved audience, we've gone far enough today. Excuse the cough. Don't you dare get twisted and caught up in all of this revisionist history. I've lived Selma. I practiced Selma. I love Selma. But I also studied for 30 years in Selma. I imam. I also reflected on our history for 30 years in Selma. So I thank Allah for not allowing me to get twisted in all the glamour that he blessed me to see what all eyes should be able to see. And this is the day when all eyes shall see. And we shall see with a certainty of sight. Dear beloved people, we thank you for your attention. Get a chance. Go and view the movie Selma. But do not leave your good, trained, and developed Islamic alcohol at home. Tie your camel and reflect, and you will see the wonders of the awesome might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cherishing sustainer of all the worlds. I greet you as we came on. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Imam, are you still there, or have we completed the broadcast? Is anybody in the studio? Is anyone in the studio? Well, dearly beloved audience, it was a pleasure to come today, and inshallah, we'll be back again next Friday as we move deeper into the year, acknowledging and celebrating the 40th anniversary of Imam Muhammad's blessed leadership. Assalamu alaikum.